For the thousands in the comments and the millions listening on YouTube Premium.
Folks, welcome back to Knightro on Knot Fest.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Happy. Yo, this episode starts with the littest happy Rosh Hashanah in history. The single most explosive happy Rosh Hashanah ever spoken in the history of humanity.
As should be.
Yeah.
WCW happy 9. Rosh Hashanah, brothers.
Unbelievable.
All my Jewish pals out there.
What a great start. Welcome back to Knightro, everybody. Episode 4 of WCW Monday Knightro.
That's right. September 25th, 1995. Want to mention, you could watch this episode before our review by watching it on Peacock. It's $5 a month.
Many people confused about where we could possibly be watching this.
Yeah, how could we find wrestling in such a world?
Put in Knightro and the date into Daily Motion. You'll probably find it.
Daily Motion.
Speaking of Daily Motion, that's how I watched. I did my homework. I watched the Baywatch episode.
Oh, wow.
The WCW Baywatch episode.
What did you think?
I mean, I have never seen a Baywatch episode, so this is my first experience with both things.
Is it a procedural beach drama?
Yes.
Hmm.
Like
it's like Law and Order. Every episode is self-contained. Sometimes they have seasonal arcs, but they're very loose.
Somebody's
I
pregnant.
Feel like the relationships seem like they're carrying. It seems like there was a whole thing with like David Hasselhoff and this girl who had melanoma.
And a car? Oh, okay. Melanoma girl.
It was unfucking believable. Starting off with just like jet ski, like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man on jet skis with the cleanest ADR dialogue you've ever heard.
Hello, are you having fun on the jet ski? Yes, brother.
Oh, brother, I'm having such a good time on these jet skis.
Are they Hulk Hogan and Macho Man in the episode?
Yes. They are the set. They're both of those. They're
in kayfabe character.
And Randy Savage.
Yeah.
They are Macho Man and Hulk Hogan.
Like Pamela Anderson's character of CJ refers to them as Hulk and Macho Man.
Yeah. No Randy. Wow. No Randy Savage. Just Macho Man.
Do they
Macho
know each other? Macho. Like, is she their local lifeguard or do they meet in the episode?
So they meet in the episode because Hulk Hogan gets too horny at sea and then gets hit by another jet ski and he has to get rescued by the lifeguards.
He's staring at her cans and gets distracted.
He just he gets too horny. He gets blasted off his jet ski.
Classic.
He wakes up. Yeah, he's awakened by CPR, and of course he goes like, "Oh, am I in heaven?"
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those. But the episode actually turns into like a save the local gym plot, like a beach gym, like an outdoor gym. Wow. And it's the way they try to like break into Electric Boogaloo, the whole thing, like save is so funny. There's like 4 minutes of just like them going like, yeah, without these gyms, the kids will be lost. just like Macho Man walking. Hey, like, yeah, brother, you know, if we didn't have this gym, I'd sure be a school shooter.
Oh
by
my
now.
God. Heard that, brother. I got to go back and watch this thing. This might inspire me.
Yeah. Wow. Ric Flair's the bad guy. Vader is Vader in the episode.
Which is crazy because Rick is like having a babyface arc in WCW right now.
Vader's in the episode.
Yeah.
They put footage from the episode in last week's actual episode of like Knightro. And that's how close it was to like Vader supposed to be in the War Games match. The War Crimes match.
WCW War Crimes.
Well, I want to mention this Baywatch episode was shot in the summer because it was shot around Bash at the Beach 95, which predates Knightro.
Right.
And Bash at the Beach was literally on the beach in Huntington Beach, California. Mm. Like on the sand. They built a ring. It was free. Anybody can go watch a pay-per-view, which was so stupid. It looked really cool as a kid. I loved it. As a promoter, I can't see how it was a good idea. No. And also, I guess it was really hot wrestling in the hot sun. Yeah. It seems brutal.
Inescapable heat, it sounds.
Yeah, so cool. Like the sun right there. But so I think they taped it around that. So that was in like June, July. So pretty quick turnaround time for this Baywatch episode.
Yeah, very, very 3 months. Fast.
It shows.
Big time.
A lot of this is the take we got in that episode.
I really liked this episode of Nitro. As bad as it is.
Yeah.
I like the episode starting with commentary just being like, hey, here's what's happening. Here's what's going on in the show.
It does sort of start with that. It begins with Mago going, Pepe has a saddle.
Pepe looking amazing, by the way.
Amazing.
Cowboy Pepe at last.
At last. Dude. The brain calling him a tarantula
the whole episode. Destroyed. And Mongo just being like, I know you want to ride him.
Yeah. For 45 minutes.
Mongo's like, having fun. Heenan's the one guy trying to keep it all together. I want to also note that it was interesting that when they shot the announcers, there was a black backdrop behind them, which is something they eventually smartly removed
because
you could just see the whole audience. Like, why are they covering the audience? You know?
Yeah. I mean, that eventually became like an iconic piece of the live show. Once they turned that booth around, brother. Oh my God.
That led to history.
I know that look.
Yeah.
And I've never seen, this is episode 4 of this for me. It's my position on the show, I'm just realizing, is so funny because I've watched wrestling for like 7 years. This is the only thing that you can like watch for 7 years and be a novice on. Like,
complete amateur.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric Bischoff is a commentator and like president of the company and can't name a single move on commentary.
Oh my God. Correctly. Yeah.
So you're okay, Jordan. Don't worry about it. The guy running the company doesn't know what a missile dropkick is. So,
no. You're probably at the same level as Eric Bischoff's knowledge here on Nitro.
I got a podcast. Let's go.
Next step, we're running Nitro, the real Nitro. We're taking the K off and we're running the show again.
Oh my God.
Alex Wright versus Disco Inferno opening the show.
Oh my God. Okay. So I have so much to say about this. First of all, I noticed there were weird technical difficulties during the entrances. I think something with the pyro or something. I kept seeing the techs running onto the set as Alex is coming out. And gotta say, one thing an ongoing theme about Nitro is the people watching in the crowd is top notch. I spotted a multiple Tom Selleck mustaches. And some very, very handsome ladies with some serious mullets.
Fuck yeah.
Good for them.
You know what? The one thing that unites all of them in the beginning there, Rob? They love Alex Wright.
Oh my God.
The crowd is fucking exploding for Alex Wright. And then again later, we'll get there. Look at the guy.
I'm exploding. The side pipe god, Alex Wright.
I recommend watching this on Peacock because you will not be able to look away. Like, it is impossible to miss that missile.
It is. They named it Peacock because of this match. Some executive was like, I'm peeping at this guy's cock. Oh my God, I got the name.
Yeah. Peacock.
The backflip entrance thing every time gets me.
It's so insane.
It's gorgeous. And he's fucking huge. He's 6'4".
He's a million. He's so tall. He's so beautiful. This is in wrestling terms, I would assume that this is like he's going to be one of the guys.
You would think so. I mean, he's opening the show. They're depending on him to keep the crowd hot at the beginning of the show. And then Disco Inferno comes out.
Dude, the worst.
The easiest heat ever, though, because he's just the wackest motherfucker. And it's like now we know in all aspects the wackest motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, he's the boat, you know? He's the buffoonest of all time.
Yes, exactly. The buffoonist.
I looked it up.
The buffoonist. I was like trying to think of a B word.
Machinist, buffoonist. I like it.
Yeah.
The bummer of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The bummerist. The bummest of all time. The boat.
Yeah, yeah.
I looked it up. Saturday Night Fever came out December 1975. We're in September 1995. This is already a 20-year-old dated reference. Yeah. Now a 48-year-old reference.
Yeah,
from
what would be similar to that today? Like 9/11 or something? Like a 9/11 yeah, gimmick?
It would be like someone coming out with an Austin Powers gimmick.
Well,
basically.
Well, in okay. The, well, maybe
hold on.
Then, because I would be in for a world championship reign for Austin Powers.
100%.
If somebody's Austin going to cut Inferno. A promo on MJF on Dynamite next week and just hits him with like, "Oh, behave," the crowd yeah. would erupt. Disco Inferno don't have Austin Powers in him. You know,
no.
Yeah, he has no charisma. Yeah. That was so weird for me. Like, he's not like, why do they give this guy? I mean, I guess he's handsome.
Yeah.
But not particularly.
He's like regular guy. He's like long, yeah. like a Long Island uncle, like a mid 30s Long Island uncle, handsome.
Which is what that is the disco vibe, you know? Like the disco dudes from Detroit Rock City who stop on the freeway and like they kick their ass, all kind of look like Disco Inferno.
Sure.
So it does make a little bit of sense. Like you look like an asshole is what that is. Them giving you a disco gimmick is like you look like a huge piece of shit.
You look like I want to hit you in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, like the idea is it's a troll. He's out there to get booed.
Yeah.
But it just feels like who cares about disco? Like, was disco even on your radar in 1995? You know what I mean? No. Like, it just seems so.
This gimmick like, is closer to 9/11 than it is to disco, you know?
I love that you brought up it's like giving someone a 9/11 gimmick, and legally we now know someone was trying.
They just tried
to give a guy who was six years old when it happened.
And somehow that feels like Disco Inferno's fault in a way, you know?
It does. 9/11?
Well, don't get me started there.
Disco Inferno.
But that gimmick, for sure.
Listen, the Disco Inferno can melt steel beans.
That is scientifically proven by this match. Alex Wright hitting like modern suicide dives. Crazy. Fucking flying missile drop kicks, dude. And Eric not knowing what to call any of them is awesome.
He called it an Arabian face kick. Oh.
I will, you know, WCW historically, as we're going to say for the next 5 years of this podcast, the worst with finishes imaginable. So you don't expect them to be the ones that remind you that a surprise roll-up can be really exciting.
Is that how you felt?
I have felt that. I was like, that was not only a convincing roll-up, because it looked like Disco was like, Disco can sell. I'll give him that, you know? And that's what wrestling is just selling that it's real. He is stuck in this roll-up and can't get out. I liked the finish. I thought this was a very strong opener.
I want to see Alex Wright's finisher at this point, because he hasn't done it yet, or he might not.
No, but the thing is, like, Sting is ending matches with crossbodies, you know?
Right.
It's like it's so lawless at this time.
Oh,
like,
and I noticed that the over-the-top rope disqualification rule is still in effect. Somebody vaguely mentioned, at some point, somebody threw someone over the top rope. And it was in front of the ref, and they were like, "Oh, I guess the ref's gonna let that one go because this the competition's too stiff." Because right before Eric Bischoff took over as Booker, I think we talked about this. They had a old school Southern Booker, Bill Watts, who I will come up in a moment.
Of course.
And he had all these weird old school rules, like you can't throw someone over the top rope; that's a disqualification. Can you imagine nowadays stupid. If that was in effect?
Oh my God, every show would be a disaster.
Every match would be over so quickly.
Yeah.
Because they got to be getting outside them ropes.
So we're all in on Alex Wright, obviously. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a treat every time he's on TV.
So then we see Hulk Hogan now, who is a face, who's a good guy. Him and Jimmy Hart. Dude, Hogan has a weird neck brace on.
He's doing neck ups with the big gold. Come on, brother.
So crazy.
Unreal.
Looking like hurt in a SpongeBob episode.
Yeah.
Like SpongeBob bandages.
And this is the beginning of the miserable fucking monster truck match build.
Yeah, this arc. What did you think when you heard that announcement, Jordan?
Did you believe it?
No.
Were you like, also, this is hyperbole. This has to be a metaphor of some kind.
Yeah, I was like, it'll be like vaguely themed.
No.
But I don't know much more than this. I have to say, when they announced it, I did go, fuck yes.
Yeah. When he said, hey, you stinky, nasty giant, get your best monster truck and we're going to have a monster truck fight.
I was in. Number one, I am a Hulk Hogan hater. Yeah. I do not, none of, Collins, whenever he says stinky, I'm in.
Yo, the weirdest thing here is like burying the actually dead Andre the Giant and still being a babyface.
I was just, dude. I have this in my notes as well. It's very weird for him to be teasing that the Giant will be laying right next to his dad.
What the
when
fuck?
Hulk Hogan is all done with it. Like, what?
I beat the shit out of your dad. He's dead now. And so soon, so are you. Get your best monster truck. I'm going to fucking kill you in it.
Like,
I'm going to slam you into your dad's grave.
What?
These WCW fans already are kind of very, like, unsure about Hulk Hogan. And he's pulling this, like, he's being a total heel right now.
It's
like,
crazy.
Like he's so unlikable.
Yep. It's literally say, like, by the way, fuck Andre the Giant. You know? Also, fuck you, but like, I'm going to kick your ass next week, but fuck your dad too. You know? Is insane.
It's insane. But
Stinky Nasty Giant.
Stinky Nasty Giant is a top insult for me. That's like, it's going to come out in regular conversation.
Yeah.
Guy's a stinky, nasty giant.
Oh my God.
So good.
Overall, just classic little mid show Hogan. Get you to the next thing promo.
I thought it was great when they announced that it was Monster Trucks, because you did tell me that I would not be able to guess.
Yeah.
What the Halloween Havoc match was going to be. I couldn't have. And when they announced it, even you telling me it's bad, I'm still like, I think it might kick ass.
Dude, it's crazy. I'm telling you, like, you can't imagine it now. But it's like shots, interior shots of them driving the monster trucks, just being like, and then shots of other people driving them.
Dude, that fucking rules.
It's crazy.
That's so good. And I'm in. I'm going to love this.
It's coming right up.
Yeah, it's only a few weeks away.
Yeah.
It's huge the best Nitro fan so far. It's the greatest. I'm in.
Which only continues with this next insane little segment between Lex Luger and Macho Man.
Oh my God. So first of all,
a great
Slim Jim commercial.
Yes.
We get a recap of maybe my favorite line in Nitro so far, which is, you want to play with the biggest, where the big boys play, where you're looking at the biggest boy.
That's the best.
Well, there's no bigger boy than the Macho Man. Oh.
There's no bigger boy.
When he said, I think this was in the flashback, Lex is telling Macho Man, like you have ulterior motives. Like, you want a shot at the world title like me. And Macho Man says, like,
well, let me tell you something. I got the guts to look you right in the eye and tell you, you got a very good point right there.
He's like, I do have aspirations to be the world champion.
You know what? I'm going to come and get in your face and let you know that you're right. Okay.
Yep. I angrily saying I do have aspirations to be the world heavyweight champion is so funny in Macho Man voice.
Dude, it's so good. I love this era of every episode we've watched so far is just watching like two men try to not lose their train of thought while screaming.
It's and every time it involves Lex Luger because he's bumbling and stumbling so much that other people bumble and stumble just talking to him.
It's
because you're like, where the crazy. Fuck are you talking? What are you doing, dude? Where are you going with this?
He's forgetting everything that he's supposed to be. Everything seems like a mistake. He comes out, even the actual promo after the flashback of the promo is them setting up a match, even though they both are in the ring with their gear. And he's like, we're going to do this next week.
And Lex's his vibe is always like, you know what? Could you remind me what? Oh God. But he does get better. I will say eventually you will be rooting for him so hard, Jordan. I swear.
I mean, even in like the next month, it's going to get really good. It's going to get good. Macho Man looked amazing here. He fits right. Whereas Disco looks dated. Hogan looks like 5 years too late.
Yeah.
Macho Man looks so modern. And honestly, if Macho Man existed like now, modern 2023, he would fit right at like Seth Rollins wishes he looked as good as Macho Man Randy Savage 25 years
Everybody's ago. Everybody's doing, if it feels like cosplay of Macho Man by even attempting something like that, you know?
And I feel like it's been so long since I've really watched Macho Man week to week that I've kind of forgot how great he was at
perfect.
Everything.
And just being the actual real life coolest guy.
Yeah. This is all. And I love like the use of cliches. One I feel like wrestlers stopped using is like, next week you're going to have a date with destiny. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like we need to bring that back.
It's crazy. To book a loser leaves town match for episode 5 of a wrestling show. Like I just got here, but I'll fucking leave forever if I lose next week. Like how is that not writing on the wall that this guy's winning?
Yeah, dude. Well, that, and then with every Macho Man match that we've seen so far is him getting his ass kicked by a person who has no business kicking his ass. Like they have Macho Man in WCW is Krillin.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking shame.
Well, I mean, it changes a little bit with the match tonight. And I really like the psychology of why they went that way. Well, that's coming up later in the show.
Right. We'll talk about it. But in general, you're right, Jordan. Yes. I think because Hogan's not doing the job.
Yeah.
And Macho Man's kind of like 1B. And he doesn't have that creative clause in his contract. And I think also he kind of probably, like, I think he cares on some level, but also doesn't care because he knows he could just cut a promo the next week and he's right back. Like, he never loses any popularity or status by losing, even though he does a lot, because he's so lovable.
Yeah.
Well, even when you watch, like, the Baywatch episode, seeing how they position them in the episode is crazy. Like, he's the friend. His gimmick, not to him, just the way that he's positioned in the universe is he's Hulk Hogan's best friend. And in real life, he's the greatest wrestler of all time. And he hates Hulk Hogan and wants to whoop his ass.
You could see why.
Yeah.
It's, you could see why he has all that resentment.
All the seeds are now growing.
They do a montage in the Baywatch episode to Hulk Hogan's music. It's crazy.
Exhausting. Exhausting. We got another monster truck promo for Halloween Havoc after this. With
these graphics. With
this, dude, breakthrough in graphic design technology as Hogan and the giant Animorph into monster trucks.
This is the Michael Jackson black or white music video technology.
Yes.
But with monster trucks.
It's beautiful. So good. I have in my notes Animorphs.
Animorphs, yes.
It's beautiful. I don't care. I'm so excited for this match. They should do monster truck matches now. That's how picture, Roman should lose the title is in a monster truck.
picture Ted Turner like watching over this promo, seeing the Animorph thing and just looking at the screen like, holy shit. That was fucking crazy.
We got something here, boys.
We're pushing boundaries. I tell you what, Jurassic Park to this,
well,
I tell
God
you.
Damn, well, God damn.
Now this is the wrestling I paid for. Oh,
God.
Who directed it? To Steven Spielman?
Up next, the newly dubbed Kurosawa, which is AKA IWGP Heavyweight Champion Nakanishi, and two-time G1 Climax winner.
Dude.
Also, isn't this Iizuka? Isn't this guy become Iizuka in Suzuki-gun? Or is that...
He was Nakanishi.
Oh, no, this is Nakanishi. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm confusing him with another guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I looked up Nakanishi. Yes, this is the refrigerator dad in New Japan.
Yes.
He looks like a refrigerator dad.
I wrote in my notes, Kurosawa, fuck off.
Fuck off. Dude, it's so awful. Some American guy being like, hey, who's that one famous Japanese guy? And then being like, okay.
that's like if Finn Balor went to New Japan and they were just like, Martin Scorsese.
Oh my God.
Also, Bobby Heenan, like right when the match is starting. So it's Kurosawa versus Sergeant Craig Pittman, who should not be on cable television in 1995.
I saw him at Planet Fitness today, you know?
He was the janitor, you mean? He was the one cleaning out all the garbage cans?
Between machines, you know?
But Heenan called Kurosawa and Pittman natural enemies. And it's like, why would they be natural enemies? Why, I mean, I know why, but you it seems why. A little problematic and you even more why. Dated than a Disco Inferno reference.
Also, like, we nuked them.
You know why.
So we're the bad guy. You know? Like,
yeah. Like, I don't,
like, we, they, he is right. If they're a natural enemy, we are the villain in this scenario.
Totally.
It is fun. It's so fun watching the wrestling, though, because look, it's mostly punch kick.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too bad. But then, like, there was one point where they got to the outside and they exposed the concrete, and Kurosawa gave Pittman a slam, gnarly. And it looked like he fucking landed right on his tailbone. It was brutal. Dude,
Pittman's face in that moment is like, oh, like for real. And
I felt it.
Yeah.
It looked painful.
Dude, Nakanishi retired 3 years ago.
That guy fucking rules.
He was great forever.
I hate that they did this to him, but he's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, he was out of there within a year, like months.
Good for him. Get him.
Yeah.
Honestly, agreed. Every Asian wrestler should be running so far away from WCW because the way that they are treated, like, all of them got to come out to Pure Moods or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, bing, 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 bing. They don't even try.
I hate that.
It's fucked up.
WWE still kind of does that a little bit too with some of their, it's like, come on.
Just give them a fucking rocks. Give them a rap song.
Yeah. They can just be a person.
I know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So crazy.
What? I don't get it.
Their gimmick is always that they're Japanese.
It's one of the reasons that, like, the Nakamura song musically is so sick. Like, it's a great song,
but
it's also like, come on, man.
It's like the guys being like, we're going to give it kind of an Eastern vibe. Oh, you are?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you are?
Oh, really? Why did you choose this one?
Give it a rest.
Were you going to give that one to Bobby Roode originally?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually the Cruiserweight Classic song at first. But, it was actually a Vince McMahon call. It was actually a Stephanie McMahon call, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
Okay, up next we have this incredible dual promo with Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman.
Arn Anderson's fit here, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. That's a fucking horseman.
Black shirt, the track jacket, the necklace, those shades, the aviators,
This is the best segment of the show, the best two promos on the show, and the best story on the show.
Yes.
All of those things combined. And like where it leads ends up very satisfying. Pillman, like, does not stutter for 1 second, knows exactly where he's going, delivers, concise, makes perfect sense. And then Arn comes in with the proest professional promo you've ever heard, knows which camera to go to, he's talking direct. He's so smart. He's like, I don't give a fuck. There's people here. I'm talking to Rick, and looks straight at it. It feels so good.
Dude, but then they cut to the wide, and the camera guy must have like cued him, but he did not. He mid-word, he turns and continues to talk to Flair. Like, this man is the proest pro.
So
I love Arn.
I was going to say, this is the best promo that has happened on any episode.
I would agree.
It's so good. It starts off like shocking because I've never heard Pillman talk. So it was shocking up front to see like the sound of whooping cough coming out of that face. Mm-hmm, but he did an incredible job. And then Arn, that's one of the...
I can't wait
to see him cut more promos because this was unbelievable.
And it's this incredible promo all about how Rick is like finally reaping what he sowed the past 10 years.
I love the setup.
Perfect. Yeah.
I love the setup.
Like, I've got a partner, but you can't get one because you fucked everybody but me in the past 10 years, and now nobody can help you.
That was so good. Like, you are such an asshole. You always fuck everybody over, and I was there to clean up your mess, but then you fucked over the wrong person, me, because now there's nobody to clean up your... Oh! Like, this is far and away the best thing in WCW, right?
It's unreal.
Like, nothing else comes close.
Yeah. What's going on in WWF right now?
Well, they just had a pay-per-view where Bret Hart defended the WWF Championship against Jean-Pierre Lafitte, who is a modern-day PCO. So, it was great, but he's like, it's very mid-card. WWF is also very much, this was their absolute lowest of the low. Yeah. Like, they had a very depleted roster. They're going broke. I have a bunch of gossip, backstage gossip. Once we get through the show summary, I want to talk about, because there's a lot of stuff happening now that the Monday Night Wars are in full effect.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're a few weeks in. But before we do, let's just get back to that. Also, I think it's very exciting to see Pillman. Like, this is the formation of the loose cannon character. This is where he's really starting to find his voice, where he's no longer trying to be that like cruiserweight babyface. He realizes like his body unfortunately is breaking down. So he realizes he has to change up his style more. He puts on a little more weight to look more like a heavyweight.
Right.
But the promos he does are so good and so influential that I feel like a lot of his style you could still see today in like more edgier characters.
Heels are all doing Pillman. In a way.
Yeah. And so then we have the semi main.
Wait, which you gotta mention the promo photo going into this.
Oh, are we talking about the promo photo for Macho and Sullivan?
Yeah. Did you first stop and look at Kevin Sullivan's picture?
I wrote down that Kevin Sullivan looks like the lightning bolt RPG guy.
Kevin Sullivan, by the way, is the booker now.
Yeah, he's the guy who's deciding what goes on the show and then puts this on the show.
How did that happen? Like, he looks the way that he does. He talks like this!
He's 5 foot tall.
This is his wrestling promo voice!
It's funny, he's probably like 5, he's probably like 6'1", but he just looks like minuscule compared to these
guys. He's a tiny man.
Is he little?
He looks like he is 65 years old.
I know.
He
talks with the most Boston accent.
Is this when they cut to the beach footage?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. This is the yeah.
Again. So they show funny. It again. It's so, so funny. They show right. it again. He's dog shit at wrestling. How is he the guy?
So how he was very good at doing like a satanic gimmick in the 80s where like people legit thought he was involved with like it was very great, very believable. I watched the tapes. You can look it up on YouTube. Okay. But at this point, he is washed up. He is washed. I will say, you know, some very interesting, unique booking ideas. He did book a lot of the NWO angle. A lot of that was really fun before it got out of hand. But he should not be the main event heel. He has said in shoot interviews, the only reason he put himself in this main event position, which I call bullshit, is that nobody else wanted to lose to Hulk Hogan as much as he lost to Hulk Hogan. So he had right. to, he sacrificed himself.
He barely loses actively yeah, Hulk Hogan.
He didn't exactly. even lose to Macho Man.
Anytime Kevin Sullivan was on offense, the crowd was dead. Was like asleep. Yeah. The moment Macho Man does any sort of comeback, they explode. Which they is love why the Macho Man.
I think in this scenario, Macho Man finally having enough and getting DQ'd and not giving a fuck for like once was kind of the right call and was awesome.
Yep.
I hated the cheap finish. I loved the post-match angle.
Yeah.
I loved the giant looking like a beast. He obviously has to be. Oh. So he's in the main event. He has to look as good as yep. he possibly could. Also, so svelte. This is the best that Paul White has ever looked.
Oh, my God.
I was such a fan. I must
reiterate how cool it was when he took the bump with the choke slam every time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks so gnarly.
So big. Falling down like, with them. Like
yeah,
a timber like a tree falling down. It's great.
That's so cool.
I was bummed that they forced Alex Wright to run out to like have to like look like a doofus to the giant. Mm. You know,
well, first Mark Starr had to come out. You know,
right?
Eric Bischoff going, somebody get Mark Starr.
I thought it was so cool how they did the Lex Luger kind of like. He ran in, but he wasn't defending Macho Man. And then, like,
it's so you could awkward.
Argue, yeah,
Lex,
like anything.
Lex just comes over and goes over Macho Man's lifeless corpse and goes. And then Giant's just like, tap, tap.
Excuse me.
I feel like people should lose matches and they should get their asses kicked by the new big guy.
Yeah.
Like, what? Just do it. Kevin should have lost the match. He should have taken, it should have been a double elbow drop because then the Macho Man's going to get his ass kicked by his new pet anyway. So yeah. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Why does Sullivan you need get to keep heat his back. Heat as they say? Yeah. Speaking Mongo, of match graphics.
Yeah.
Do you have a Mongo message?
Mongo had a line during this about Kevin Sullivan.
What did he say?
You live with evil, it comebacks to bite you. It comebacks to bite you.
He's folksy.
Okay. So think about that. Jordan.
That goes.
You live with evil, it comes back to bite you. Okay.
Comes back to bite you.
Listen, that goes double for me. I'm asking you also.
Okay. Yeah.
Was double for me. I'm asking you also.
God, this show is the best.
It's the best. I love the grant. This is my hooked on phonics. I love this. Oh my God.
Is that the end of the show?
No, we have my favorite Nitro match graphic of all time, Lex Luger versus Meng. What is that thing on Meng's head?
Oh my God.
What is that? The
pig thing?
The headpiece. Yeah.
What is
and
it?
And also, this Lex Luger photo that they're using is from like 10 years ago.
Dude, he's
it's
like this.
Like his high school senior. Yeah, he's
like
senior
they don't have any new photo. Like he's been on the show for 3 weeks now. You couldn't have been like pulled him aside. Hey, Lex, let me take a quick shot.
No, we don't have the budget for those. We use them on the drone like rookie shot year. For episode two. We use them on the EMT helicopter from episode two.
They have the newest, weirdest photo of Meng But then the oldest photo of Lex Luger. I don't get it.
He's what? 13 years old in this picture. It's crazy. This match fucking sucked cock, right?
Yeah, this is very, very not good. The spike thing was so weak.
The spike, he's got so a spike. Weak. He's got a spike.
A spike?
A spike.
Like, he's fucking Meng. His head is tougher than a spike.
Where in what context are you getting a spike?
Yeah, how is it? Like, that's like assault. That's like against the law.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even, you know, like.
You can't even get that at Home Depot. It makes no sense that that would be somewhere accessible.
Is that the rule? Like, any wrestling thing is a weapon. You can get
spikes.
You can only get it at Lowe's or a Home Depot.
Yeah. That's it. Gimmicks RS must be affiliated. You have to use a Home Depot purchase order to get stuff for under the ring. So if they don't have it, no Amazon allowed.
And then Eric Bischoff mentioned that Commissioner Nick Bockwinkel would have to review the footage. I was blown away that Nick Bockwinkel was around in the Nitro era, which, by the way, what a wonderful last name.
Bockwinkel is a legendary name. Yeah, agreed. That's the end of the show, huh?
Yeah, that's it. I couldn't believe the show was over. Easy. I was like, I was ready for more. I'm so used to these three-hour shows.
Savor these hours, guys.
Yeah.
Because one day it's going to be hard.
And we end up with back to the commentary booth previewing the next week, where we have Hulk Hogan's going to finally get off his ass and come to the arena. We're going to have Dean Malenko. I believe he's facing Eddie Guerrero, which that's going to fucking rock.
Yeah.
And then the Lex Luger High School Yearbook photo versus Macho Man. It's a loaded show next week. Like, watching this, I was like, shit. I want to watch the next one now.
They are doing a good job early on of being like, hey, you should probably know. This is the kind of, this episode is like the one exception so far.
I feel like this was the weakest episode. So, like, this was a transition episode.
Yes.
You know, like, this episode is just building up next week.
Yeah. And the next week is,
I still had a good time.
Exactly.
Oh, no, it was great. It was really fun.
I do think it is very funny that the big reveal, the big special wrestler from episode one, Lex Luger, we're now in episode four. He has zero wins and one weird loss.
A spike loss.
Great point.
Spike loss.
He's got the War Games win.
That did counts. Did he get the tap?
No, but that all. Yeah, who was it? Sting that got the yes out of Zodiac?
Yeah, it was Sting.
Of course, it was the Stinger, fucking baby. God.
Where was
dude.
Sting this week?
The God.
Oh, he was missed.
He was sorely missed.
Sorely missed. But guess what? Yeah. He's got a great spot coming up, Jordan. Rob, you know.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm very excited. This pay per view Halloween Havoc. We're about a month away. It looks like 4 weeks away. Lots of highs, lots of lows. It's going to be a fun journey this month. So
I'm stoked.
As I like to do every week, I like to check the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Yeah, let's talk.
For that week. See what's going on. Like we watch what happens in front of the cameras, but I want to know what's happening behind the cameras. So this is week four now, and, ratings are in. Interestingly, the previous week was the first week that both shows went live head-to-head, and WWE just won. They got a 2.7 with a 3.8 share versus WCW's 1.9.
Wow.
That's a pretty weak. So I guess the reason why is WWF had like a bunch of title matches. There was a tag title change.
Meanwhile, on WCW, we got the American Males as the new tag team champions. So,
Well, and interestingly, I guess this probably happens in this next week on WCW Saturday Night, which is their secondary show now, Harlem Heat defeat the American Males. And so they get the titles back. So it was completely just to have a title change on Nitro.
Just to be like, oh, yeah, anything can happen on Nitro, clearly.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
And so
I'm sad we missed it. I do like that Saturday Night has like Mystery Science Theater 3000 graphics.
Yeah. I love those. It had a great set, too.
Did they really?
It ceases to matter.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. So on the WWF side, as I mentioned, the previous booker to Eric Bischoff was Cowboy Bill Watts, who is a legendary booker in the 80s. He was considered like the top booker. He had like great storylines. He gave an interview when he got the job in WCW with a journalist called Wade Keller, who is up there with Dave Meltzer as like a legitimate wrestling journalist. Yeah. At the time, Wade, Pro Wrestling Torch, correct. At the time, Wade was closeted. He is now an out homosexual man.
All right.
And
good job, Wade.
Unprompted, Bill Watts starts telling him that if somebody doesn't want to serve a gay person, except he did not say gay person. He said a much more vulgar term at their restaurant, they should be allowed to do so. And then said some other very harsh things about both gay people and black people.
Right.
And, you know, Wade got imagine you're like a 20-year-old closeted gay dude and this really massive, like Southern, like football player guy who's like 45
powerful
is like
figure in the field.
Yeah. Kind of it's like, here. Hey, if I don't want to let a gay guy into my restaurant, shouldn't that be my right? And then he like looks to Wade and Wade goes, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to respond. It's very like, look up the transcription. It's really weird. So somebody sent that transcription to, Hank Aaron, I believe, who, worked at Turner Broadcasting and is a very famous, like black baseball player who broke the barrier, and immediately Watts was fired.
Wow.
You know, obviously
in 95?
From WCW 94-95
that's so it was fucking actually awesome.
Yeah,
fucking rules.
They are not safe for that. So what happens? Vince McMahon brings in Bill Watts to be the new booker of WWF, and so this week, backstage at WWF Raw, they have a big meeting where Vince McMahon reveals that Bill Watts is going to be a booker. Spoiler, Vince McMahon cannot cede power for more than two. Like, Bill Watts stays there 2 weeks and then quits because he can't handle Vince McMahon changing his shit all the time. So don't get too upset. But at the meeting, McMahon blasted WCW, saying they're going on Monday nights wasn't good business. This is directly from The Observer, by the way. He said they could have put their show on Wednesday or Thursday and had the night to themselves. And by going on Mondays, they showed it's more important to them to hurt the Raw ratings than draw big numbers themselves, which he called stupid business. It's so funny.
He absorbs every territory.
Yeah. Like, you're the shadiest fucking business.
He pillaged all wrestling that wasn't his. So fuck you.
Yep. So then Bill Watts gets on and he gives a speech to the WWF crowd, and he says he blames his largely unsuccessful tenure running the company on a corporate structure which didn't understand wrestling. And also right now, Time Warner and Turner Networks are in the process of merging, which is really interesting because this is essentially the beginning of the downfall of WCW.
Yeah.
And he says, Watts says, with the merger, that Turner could become a minority partner in the business, which would give him as much say-so as a janitor, and said not to be surprised to see TBS drop the wrestling company altogether, which is very prophetic because that's exactly what happened 5 years later when AOL merged with Time Warner.
Yeah.
McMahon responded by saying he hoped it wouldn't happen because overall that'd be bad for the business.
Make up your fucking mind, dickhead.
So this brought up the discussion of what were to happen if WCW were to go out of business. And McMahon gave the impression he didn't care much for the talent in WCW and was particularly negative towards Hulk Hogan, who he said would never work in WWF again. Spoiler, he did work in WWF again and is actually currently employed.
Yeah.
And Lex Luger, who he reportedly said, we'll see him in court. There was no court.
No.
His most positive comments were directed at Sting, Brian Pillman, and the Harlem Heat.
Sting?
Yeah. Interesting.
Wow.
Well, you know, Sting has said there was every few years he would get interest, but it just never would pan out.
Because he's a fucking real one, man. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So McMahon claimed doing Nitro live every week was costing WCW $150,000 a week, which at that time seems very expensive.
Yeah.
And for them to follow the lead, it would cost WWF $135,000 a week. And he simply could not afford to do that. He said they would take advantage of the fact that 3 of the 4 weeks the show would be taped by taking a Melrose Place approach, hyping the next week on television with like scenes from the next week, like a teaser.
He attributes that to Melrose Place. That's that meme where it's like guy who's only seen Boss Baby seeing his second movie. This is giving me serious Boss Baby vibes. Oh my God.
He goes, McMahon said something to the effect of he could retaliate on WCW, and everyone knows I could be a really evil person, but in this case, I don't have to be.
Everyone knows I'm a really evil person.
Yeah.
That's profound.
Yeah.
McMahon said WCW has been trying to beat WWF for 7 years and they come out the losing end for 7 years. He said they'll never be able to beat WWF because WWF has better talent, better production, better booking, and made the point that Ted Turner tried to buy WWF. This goes back 10 years now, and Vince refused to sell it, trying to paint Turner as holding a grudge all this time. So the narrative is already starting.
Yeah.
He said the guy who was in charge of WCW spent less time in the wrestling business than most people in the room, and that Watts has one of the greatest minds in wrestling. See, he's talking about Eric Bischoff, how he's... so I thought that was really interesting. A few other notes is that Steve Austin was just fired the previous week by WCW, the infamous firing by FedEx package.
We're not going to get to see
no Steve any Austin.
No Steve Austin.
He never makes it to a Nitro. He's going to debut in ECW soon. Ric Flair has not been on TV because he had an operation to remove cataract from his eye, and it was a success, so he should be back the following week. Fortunately, Johnny B. Badd out with an injury, a rib injury. He's going to be out a few weeks, but this Meltzer writes he's expected back for the Halloween Havoc.
Yes!
Thank God.
Jordan, and, we're all in on Johnny B. Badd now, right?
You're 100%. I was in immediately. We still need the ropes.
Need them.
I'm so excited for a build to a Halloween Havoc. Absolutely the best pay-per-view of all time.
Well, they get better from here, I'll say, you know.
I'm in.
Like next Halloween Havoc, awesome. Cool. Halloween Havoc after that, awesome.
We just have to get through this year. Yeah. Really though, once we get past Halloween Havoc, like the Starrcade is really cool because they bring in New Japan guys and they do like a New Japan versus WCW pay-per-view and there's like really, really cool matches that end up happening.
We got good stuff coming.
Oh, shit. That's cool.
Yeah. We're coming along.
Fellas.
That was episode 4 of Nitro. I'm having a blast on this rewatch-a-thon.
You're my favorite show.
Watching
our show that we're making and also watching this. Favorite shows.
Yeah, exactly. Well said.
1 and 2. Nitro, this, Succession.
All right.
We're on the socials. Knitro Pod. K N I T R O Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for the boomers. And we love your feedback. We love hearing what you think of the programming.
Folks from the Hardlore Discord watch along together to Nitro week to week. So if you want to get in there, there's a little tab just for wrestling. They can coordinate when they're going to watch the next episode of Nitro. You can do it as a group. It'll be fun. Sometimes one of us, or maybe all of us, will pop in there.
Yep.
So, all right.
Love friendship. Yeah. Love to watch wrestling amongst on a friendship. All aboard.
Amen. Thank you all for watching and listening. We love you so much. This was Nitro episode 4. Bye.
Bye.